Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Tucker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We have a Battle of Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined by Red Powell.
What up?
Rez, it's you and I tonight.
I know. A little special time.
Yeah. So other folks are delayed. Of course, Adam Camilleri is off doing some shoutcasting for the WTC this weekend. So if you hear this, you can tune in and find him on the coverage over there. That is the World Team Championships, where a lot of folks from several different countries are over there participating in an 8-player team event. So yeah, I'm really excited for him.
Awesome event. Tons of stuff going. I mean, there are tons of people there. The number of teams there is staggering. So that's awesome that he's getting a shoutcast there.
Yeah, getting to see some different play styles from all over the world. Of course, they will crown a champion at the end of the weekend. So if they're curious about just what they're playing, tune in. We can talk about this on the second part of the show, because I want to talk about Imperial Agents on this episode.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, but just like team events in general, we've talked about them recently for the ATC. Like the lists that do well at team events are not always the best list, but it's a great format to see like how to stress test things, I think, which is pretty unique. But we can talk about that maybe later on. And also, you and I are coming back from Gen Con this past week.
Oh, yeah.
So looking forward to talking about that on the back half of the show. But Imperial Agents, this is an anticipated book for several reasons. One of which being that, there's seemingly some changes happening with Death Watch. There's a way to include like whole units of other Space Marine chapters in Imperial armies. Like you can include Grey Knight Terminators in like every single Imperium army now.
That's right. That's right. If you don't mind, I'll read out their army rule.
Yeah.
Assigned to agents. If your army faction is agents of the Imperium, then in the select detachment rule step, you can select one of the available detachments from this book as normal.
And there's a bunch. We'll cover them.
Yeah, which are pretty exciting. But if your army faction is not agents of the Imperium, but every model in your army has the Imperium keyword, you can include agents of the Imperium units in your army, even if they do not have the faction keyword you selected in the select army faction step. In this case, the maximum number of agents of the Imperium unit you can include in your army depends on the battle size as shown below. The key part to this strike force is you can have 2 retinue units, and we can talk more about what those exactly are in a minute, 2 character units, and 1 requisitioned unit, which, to your point, just going ahead and making that shortcut, the Grey Knight Terminators are one of those requisitioned units. It says, note that you can include agents of the Imperium dedicated transport units, which is a big deal in such an army as normal, but each unit must start the battle with 1 or more units embarked within it, or it cannot be deployed for that battle and will count as having been destroyed during the first battle round. Typical fare for dedicated transport.
Yeah, consistent there. And strike force, you mentioned, that's the 2,000 points. That is what is most commonly played with what we witness as examples of play. But that's pretty interesting there with the being able to include that number of units. It doesn't say anything about points. It's just whatever those units end up being.
Right. Well, and that's where I think to that point. Exactly. So it's not capped by points. And some of those units, we can look at it. Some of those units, the retinue units, they don't really blow, go out of the water, right? Like none of them are going to be, it's not going to be like half your army are retinue units, character units, and requisitioned. It probably is somewhere around, maybe I could see you, if you tried to make like the most expensive, maybe it gets around a third or so, but I don't see it getting to half.
There's been a lot of discussion around the Kodiaz model as well.
It's definitely transitioned. I don't know about you, but I have one of the old metal ones. And I may be sticking with that. I may just need to make my own.
There is a certain gravitas, I think, of the older one.
Sure.
I really think so. We can talk about the model when we talk about Kodiaz here in a second, but I just know that people they got feelings about them. And I think that is, it's justified. Like, I think that it's going to be something that people, if they have the old one before, and the old one is still available, I think. So probably could. And if the new one may also speak to some people as well. So, but anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. I just know that it is a topic that's hot with some folks. But the first detachment in here is the Ordo Zenus Alien Hunters. This is, the detachment rule is Death Watch Mission Tactics. You get to, at the start of your command phase, you can select one of the mission tactics listed below. Until the start of your next command phase, the mission tactic is active and is effects apply to all Death Watch units from your army. Each mission tactic can only be selected once per battle. The Fuhrer tactics give you sustained hits one on Death Watch. Malleus tactics give you lethal hits, and the Purgatus tactics give you precision, which is, it can be pretty powerful. And then there are some enhancements, which I think are also nice. This Agents of the Imperium model only, Universal Anathema, gives the bearer anti-infantry and 2+, and anti-monster 4+. The next one I think is really good, and this is the Black Weep Shroud, giving the bearer Feel No Pain of 4+.
Yep.
Beacon Angelus is the Watchmaster model only. Lets you do rapid ingress for 0 CP on his unit, their unit. I think that's pretty good. And then the Amulet of Auto Chastisement. This is also good, you know, so I think, like, what do you choose in this instance? But this gives a 12-inch aura, and that's the only kind of limiter here, is that you pick a vehicle excluding Titanic within 12 inches and visible to the bearer. The unit must take a leadership test. If that test is passed until the end of the phase, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, subtract 1 from the hit roll. If the test is failed, that unit is not eligible to shoot this phase.
And I really regret that Adam isn't here, because just anything called the Amulet of Auto Chastisement, I feel like I could have had a good, like, one-liner lined up for him, but I'll save that for next time, maybe.
Well, we'll put it in the bank and wave it out later on. But that 12 inches there, I think that's a nice limiter, but this is pretty strong. Everything there we just listed, I think, is pretty strong.
It is. And then when you go back to this detachment thing, because, you know, we'll have the questions based on Death Watch, right? Because, I mean, since we're looking at the detachment, we just jump straight down to the units. There are admittedly 3 Death Watch units, not counting the Corvus Black Star Flyer, right? So 4 data sheets in total. There's the Watchmaster. There's Artemis, who is the character who was in the Eldar versus Death Watch box that came out, I want to say, later in 8th edition. And then there is the Death Watch squad. And that Death Watch squad, I just have to say, you know, looking at it, I don't think, you know, people who played Death Watch before, I understand. You know, there was a Death Watch. There's been, what, 3 Death Watch codexes in the meantime?
Have there been 3?
2 or 3. 2 or 3.
And they've existed. They were a White Dwarf codex supplement or something along
beforehand. Yeah, right. And so when you get to this, there is no more like Death Watch Kill Team Cassius, which is something that was out there for a while. It came in that was also kind of like a box set thing that came out. But this squad does have, you know, I don't want to sit here and say they're all necessarily firstborn, but I'm pretty confident that it looks like this squad, Death Watch Kill Team, you know, they've got bolt guns, frag cannons, and furnace heavy bolters, combi weapons, stalker pattern bolt guns.
That's just the Death Watch kit.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And so I'm not sitting here saying that your entire army is invalidated. I think it's important to cover that, because it's not the case. There are these Death Watch kill teams. And then you also go back to the like what we were talking about before, about the assigned agents. There's nothing stopping you from taking all of your Death Watch Space Marines, using the Space Marine Codex, and then adding in the assigned agents on top of that, if that makes sense.
Oh, so they become like your Death Watch veterans.
Something like
your,
Exactly. And so you may not be using the Death Watch detachment because they're assigned veterans. You would be playing Space Marines with their detachment, and then you add on the assigned agents of these veterans, and whether you're going to bring an Inquisitor or one of the Watchmasters or whatever. But you can do it like that. Like, you can still, all of your Death Watch army is still applicable. It doesn't change. I think that's important thing to hit, that, like, they didn't just abandon Death Watch. It can still be played. You don't have to repaint your whole army. You can run with it. It just doesn't work in the conventional way.
The stratagems here do target Death Watch infantry. Or in the instance of the rapid tactical relocation stratagem for one CP is one Inquisitor or one Death Watch infantry unit from your army. Remove your unit from the battlefield in the reinforcement step of your next movement phase. Set your unit up anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 9 inches horizontally away from all enemy models. Restrictions, you cannot select a unit that is within engagement range of one or more enemy units. So you do that at the end of your opponent's fight phase.
Oh, wow.
So as long as you're not in contact with them, engagement range with them. So that's pretty cool. Some of the things you might expect, like Dragonfire, Kraken, and Hellfire rounds.
Classics.
Yeah, to the stratagem. I think they've been there for a while, but they're stratagems. And then there's Adaptive Tactics, which select the Fuhrer, Malleus, or Purgatus tactics until the start of your next turn. Your next command phase, that Death Watch mission tactic is active for your unit instead of any other Death Watch mission tactic that is active for your army, even if you have already selected that Death Watch mission tactic this battle. So a way to reload something for one command point.
Yeah, and I think it's good to show that the Death Watch units, so in this they are, I'm just double checking to confirm, but I'm pretty sure they are battle line. And so you can definitely have a large group of them.
Like a bunch of squads.
Yeah, of just the Death Watch. I'm just going to confirm that data sheet right now.
So Watch Captain Artemis is the character you're referring to. And
that's right.
It has tactical instinct. While this model is leading a unit, weapons equipped by models in that unit have the lethal hits ability.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. And also an unstoppable champion. The first time this model is destroyed, roll a d6 at the end of the phase on a 2+, set this model back up on the battlefield as close as possible to where it was destroyed and not within engagement range of any enemy units with one wound remaining. And 4 wounds to start, has a 4+ invulnerable save.
There's some vibes there. Being able to revive like that is pretty good. I did confirm the Death Watch kill team are in fact battle line. So, you know, if you wanted to make a detachment of just them, you could have up to 6 of them. And that's pretty healthy. You could throw in some other stuff from there.
The pictures in the decks they got along with Artemis are you showing the Death Watch kit that came out mm-hmm. not that long ago, or when you refer to it as that box set. The Watchmaster has strategic knowledge. While this model is leading a unit, that unit is eligible to shoot and declare a charge in a turn in which it advanced or fell back. I think that's pretty important. And the rights of battle, once per battle round, one unit from your army that is with this ability can be targeted by a stratagem for 0 CP, even if another unit from your army has already been targeted by that stratagem this phase. Now, we know this will also, you know, have the blanket errata that affects that type of stuff applied to it as well. With the Watchmaster, rocking 5 wounds with a 4+ invulnerable save. So cannot argue with that. The Vigil Spear has the Lance ability, 6 attacks, hitting on 2, string 6, -2 AP, D3 damage, and he can also throw it for 24 inches, 2 attacks. I assume that it's he's not really throwing it. He's shooting the bolter on top, but I wanted to imagine him.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's stick with him throwing it. Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, yeah, it's got magnetic recall. It's the first attack is when it hits you, and the second attack is when he pulls it out.
The Death Watch kill team have Death to the Alien each time a model in this unit make an attack. You reroll a hit roll of 1. If the target of the attack does not have the Imperium or Chaos keywords, you can reroll the hit roll instead.
Pretty good. How it's just a blanket thing, right? Like it starts out, and then it just steps up to that next level if you're fighting any Xenos.
I like that. We don't see too many of those. It's kind of on, especially on a like a troop. What is the equivalent of a troops?
Right. Well, and then so you're talking 10 of them. You slap Artemis in there, and they've all got lethal hits, and things can get pretty accelerated from there.
Yeah.
Yep. And rerolling.
I mean, it just says reroll, not like unsuccessful. Just like.
Plus the stratagems and everything else. I mean, it's pretty intense, pretty quick.
I think that's, well, you mentioned in that there is change in this. It does seem like they do, like everything we just read has a use.
Sure.
Which I like.
There's probably some disappointment in what the previous makeups of their kill teams were, right? Remember, they used to, you know, you could make these. They had set kill teams, and before that, you were able to kind of make your own kill team by mixing and matching, and every model in it brought a different benefit. And so I know that has gone away, but at the same time, I mean, there's still a lot of utility in these squads and their ability to play it out. And so you then match those up against the Again, if you really wanted to bring in some of your old units outside of just this Death Watch kill team, you could essentially just make a Space Marine detachment and go from there. I think it's important to state that point again.
The next one in here is the Order Hereticus Purgation Force.
You
has the ability to root out heresy.
I mean, going into it, it's, I mean, right out the front. And I was really excited to see how they brought this out, right? Because the Warcom article, they highlighted like what the combat patrol box is, and it's Arbetes and a Inquisition squad and a Eversor assassin, which is, I think, a pretty exciting little starter kit. I think Arbetes are some of the coolest looking kill team models out there. I was really excited to see them come back and around. And so going to this Ordo Hereticus, where ranged weapons equipped by Adeptus Arbetes, Inquisitor, Inquisitorial Agents, and Ordo Hereticus models from your army have the Ignores Cover ability. Each time any of those group from your army makes an attack that targets a Chaos unit containing five or more models, that attack has the Sustained Hits 1 ability. I think that's pretty big. Five or more models is a really easy threshold to hit in many cases, so you're just slapping Ignores Cover and Sustained Hits 1 on all those attacks. That's huge.
I mean, most squads that you see are at least start with five.
Right. Yeah, they start at five.
So you can get your special abilities. And then the enhancements, the Liber Heresius Inquisitor or Ministorum Priest model only after both players have deployed their army. Select up to three Agents of Imperium units from your army and redeploy them. When doing so, you can set those units up in a strategic reserves if you wish, regardless of how many units are already in strategic reserve.
And I got to, you know, just quick, because it's going to come up again. But, you know, so the Inquisitorial squad is the Inquisitorial Agents is, you know, the kill team squad, pretty much. And then you can add an Inquisitor to them, and then you can also, in the Ministorum Priest model, in his data sheet, you're allowed to add him on to an agent squad on top of that, even if there is also an Inquisitor attached. So it's, you know, there's some character play to this. I'm not saying, and I will say, you know, without going into great detail on all the data sheets and overloading everyone with information, I do think that there is some balance to this and that none of this seems too overpowered. It's functional. It goes well together. You can see the synergy to these things, but at the same time, it is not so overwhelming that you know, it's, this is not an auto take, but there are these options they presented, which I think is cool.
Next one here is the No Escape Aura, given to an Inquisitor. If a unit is selected to fall back within 6 inches of the bearer, they must make a leadership test. If it's failed, they must remain stationary this phase instead.
Womp womp.
Yeah, real situational, but still, I mean, anytime we see a rule that like negates a base rule of the game, I feel like it's at least worth taking a look and see if it's right for you, if you can build around it.
And there's some stuff it's cool when you get to the, you know, the Arbetes data sheets. There's one that's battle line, which is pretty, you know, it's a pretty standard loadout. You have a few options to adjust. There's a second squad that you can run that is kind of, I would call them like the veterans. They have far more options. They are not battle line. So the first squad is called a vigilant squad, and that's the battle line squad. The second squad is called an exaction squad, and that's the more veteran-like, that you have more options to change out and bring in more special weapons.
They were real popular, you know, before. Like,
oh yeah,
you take a five-man exaction squad that had a Feel No Pain, then yeah, for like 50 points back in the day, it was very
right.
Utility unit focused.
And this exaction squad comes with, so it has at the start of the battle, select one unit from your opponent's army. Each time a model in this unit makes an attack that targets that unit, that attack has lethal hits and precision, which is pretty cool. War gear, you can have a med kit, which essentially start of the command phase, you can return up to D3 destroyed exaction vigilance. It's got a, you can take a soul guilt scanner, which ignores cover, which is kind of redundant with the Ordo Hereticus detachment rule. But at the same time, this also opens up where you could bring these, you know, you could even bring these with your Death Watch detachment. There's nothing saying you can't bring these as well if you're trying to fill out some other aspects. And so these guys ignore cover if you take that option, which can be helpful because then you can find ways to fit and fill some of your list without, you know, just being stuck in this rut or that rut or what have you. There's also the next squad, the third squad of Arbetes loadouts is called the Subductor Squad, which is reminds me of like the Storm Shield Terminator squads, because that's really what they are. It's really, you know, 10 models with, of course, their accompanying Cyber Mastiff. But the Subductors all have they have a shock maul, and then they all have a shield in that shield. So they're at a 3-up armor save, 4-up invuln, which I think is pretty good going into it.
I'm digging that. I know you mentioned that you can sub them out into different things. These also can be included into any Imperium force.
Right.
They take their special rules with them. That's not detachment specific we're talking about. There's a lot of rules piled up on the actual data slates for all these units.
Yeah, and I think the other one for Ordo Hereticus to add in is that there is in this codex, there is a Sister of Battle squad that can combat patrol, and then you can take two dedicated transports. They specifically have rhinos. Something important to note about rhinos, especially if you've gone through all these different units so far, it says this model has a transport capacity of 12 agents of the Imperium models, just cannot transport Terminators or Assassins. And so rhinos can carry, you know, you can move sisters around. There's Inquisitorial Chimeras that can move 13 Inquisitor infantry and Inquisitorial agents. So you can use 13. Chimeras. Yeah, I know, 13. Because you got to think the Inquisitorial Agent squads, for every 5 agents that you have, you can include a gun servitor. So if you have 10, you have 10 plus 2 gun servitors plus an Inquisitor, and that makes your 13 right there. And then there's also, for the Sisters of Battle, there's Immolators as one of their dedicated transports, which I think is pretty great. Immolators, whether they come with their heavy flamers, their heavy bolter, twin heavy bolters, or twin multi-meltas, that's a pretty good little dedicated transport to throw into the mix of all this.
Those get taken now in the Adeptus Auritas forces.
That's right, that's right.
A couple of other enhancements here. The Witch Hunter, each time this model in the unit makes an attack that targets the Psyker unit, you can reroll the hit roll. You put that on an Inquisitor or a Priest. And then the Ignis Judicium, which gives the Bearer, the Bearer's range weapons have the Devastating Wounds, Melta 1, and Precision abilities. You put that on Inquisitor or a Priest. So, yeah, I like that it exists there. You can really trick some, all these models have a lot of personality and character to them.
They do.
I know you're big on that.
And I am. And I have a ton of them. And especially as I'm leaning forward to events like the Grand Narrative in November and whatnot, there's so much little character things to be added into this that you can make. And again, none of this, when you look at an Inquisitor's profile, they are not like these, it's not a smash captain of stats, right? And so even throwing this on here, I would say throwing on the Ignis Judicium is not going to like break the game by any means. Is it going to, you know, it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's not going to be this game breaking thing that just, oh, well, here comes the Inquisitor with his Ignis Judicium. Like, it's just not going to be the thing you hear in the Meta Watch, right? But it is going to be fun, and people are going to be able to appreciate it.
There are some nice stratagems here, and I'll try to summarize them. There's a stun grenades, which gives you an 8-inch attack. The enemy unit must take a battle shock test, and until the end of the phase, each time that model in that unit makes an attack, subtract 1 from the hit roll. So that's not if they're battle shock, they're -1. That's must take a battle shock test and excluding monsters or vehicles, -1 to hit. You do that at the start of any phase, excluding the command phase. There's an inviolate jurisdiction. 1 Adeptus Arbetes Inquisitional Agents or Ordo Hereticus Infantry Unit from your army. You select them when your opponent's shooting or fight phase, just after the enemy unit has been selected. They get Feel No Pain of a 5+.
It's pretty good. A little more survivable, right? If you're talking about the Subductors with their shields. 3-up armor, 4-up invuln, now have a 5-up Feel No Pain. Or it could be a Sisters of Battle squad. It's not bad. And you look at things like the Dispense Justice, 1 CP for Arbetes, Inquisitorial Agents, or Ordo Hereticus, and until the end of the phase, weapons equipped by models in your unit have the Lethal Hits ability. and that's shooting or fight phase. And so you sit here and you look at it, and there's a lot of stuff in this that between the Arbetes and the Sisters of Battle, you're like, man, I feel like they're lacking the punch. Like they're just not gonna, I mean, I'm saying this hypothetically or rhetorically.
If one felt like they were lacking something.
Correct. I feel like they suddenly have these things between, we were talking about the different ammo rounds for Ordo Xenos, or like this dispensing justice in the Hereticus strat. I think they still have the ability to deliver it, and you really just have to you really have to make these things work for you. And I think that it gets there. It's not gonna, again, you're not gonna just pick something up in one turn, or like, you know, right away with one phase of shooting or something like that. You can make things hurt, and you can still bring to bear some of it, but you really have to pay attention to these things.
Another powerful one here is the execution order. This is a 2 command point stratagem. You do that in your command phase. Select one enemy character unit on the battlefield until the start of your next command phase. Each time a model in your unit targets that character unit, the weapons have the precision ability.
It's pretty big. I mean, there's some things that could really reach out and touch somebody in some of these things, especially with how close you can get.
You target one Arbetes, basically the package of units that we set before.
Yeah, pick one of those units.
Yeah. Precision, of course, is the ability to let you target characters, you know, that have bodyguards, a bodyguard unit. You pick them out, dish a bunch of moves to them.
And I really like Line of Fire. I mean, this is fun. Again, like, it's just good character of this game and where this army's going. Select one Arbetes agents or Ordo Hereticus units from your army that has not been selected to shoot this phase. Till the end of the phase, models in your unit can target enemy units that are within engagement range of one or more friendly units with ranged weapons, excluding blast weapons, provided the target is within 12 inches. I mean, again, it's just the character of it, the ability to be like, oh, yep, they don't care that they're in engagement range. They're going to shoot this other unit.
The next one is the Ordo Malleus Demon Hunters. This is the Grey Knight section. Like, Ordo Malleus is a throwback term.
Well, and you know, the Grey Knights are, I'm going to say, you know, even, don't take this the wrong way, Paul. The Grey Knights are probably one of the most distinct supplements to Space Marines, right? They're not just Space Marines. They actually have...
I can see where your concern was.
Right. You know, I'm sorry. Like, the Blood Angels do have some distinct units. They do. The Sanguinary Guard, I'm not sure if I could just say that Death Company is so distinct, but the Blood Angels do have some distinctions, but the Grey Knights really do have a sincere distinction from regular Space Marines. And so I don't know if I feel confident that there's going to be a Grey Knight Codex that comes outside of this. I'm not saying that's for sure. This is just my assumption.
So you're feeling like that they're going, this will not be the only Grey Knight representation in a Codex. That's your opinion, what you're feeling.
That is my opinion.
Gotcha.
Because I just feel there's too much else, right? Because I'll tell you right now, you know, for those that haven't got their hands on the book yet, or haven't seen it, that there's no Nemesis Dread Knight in this. There's no
Grey Knight
baseline. Yeah, exactly. There's no Storm Raven. There's no battle line Grey Knights in this. There's just a Terminator squad, which is okay because of the way you can play it and build it out, and the agents can matter and all sorts of stuff can play into it. I think it's tough to play a Malleus Demon Hunter detachment to a certain extent, but it can be done. And this codex literally only has the Grey Knights Terminator squad. And so that's just something to keep in line. Yeah, they're looking at their data sheet. They are not battle line. And so you're still going to have to fill it out with some kind of battle line. And that's not to say that you couldn't. I mean, again, like, we haven't got to the Navy units yet, but there are Imperial Breachers. There's all sorts of stuff that you could make your battle line out of. If you were trying to make this Ordo Malleus, you just have to be cognizant of that, like, going into it. And that a lot of the benefit that we're about to describe goes directly to those units. Because so, like, each time the detachment rule, each time an Inquisitor, Inquisitorial Agents, or Ordo Malleus model from your army makes an attack, reroll a hit roll of one And if the target of that attack is a demon unit, reroll a wound roll of one as well, which I think, again, we go back to, there's still utility because the whole army, at least Inquisitors, Inquisitorial Agents, or Ordo Malleus, are rerolling hit rolls of one. And then if it happens to be a demon, it's also a reroll wound rolls of one. And so that's a good start. And I think it's just something to be aware of and to pay attention to as you think about how you might build this thing out, because while it says, you know, Ordo Malleus is going to cover, of course, the Grey Knight Terminators, but the enhancements aren't too bad either. And I think it goes back to this kind of character, because the first, well, really all of them are for Inquisitor models and how you play that out. The first one, Formidable Resolve, Inquisitor model, you improve the bearer's leadership and wounds characteristic by one, and then once per battle at the start of any phase, you can select one friendly battle shock unit within 12 inches of the bearer. That unit is no longer battle shocked, which could be clutch in certain scenarios, especially with how you play OC and manage
fight. At the end of the game, you know, you really need to be on the objective. You've got other battle shock ability. You know, it's like, yes.
It could come through. And giving one leadership and one wound isn't too bad either. I mean, it could have its own play. And then Demon Slayer, Inquisitor model, only add one to the attack's characteristics of the bearer's melee weapons, and the weapons have the anti-demon 3-up ability, which is really good when you look at an Inquisitor, which I mean, these are baseline Inquisitors, and I personally have several models that I could play or run as an Inquisitor. When you look at their melee weapons, the Inquisitorial melee weapon is 5 attacks hitting on 3s, and then the Force weapon is 4 attacks, but the 4 attacks psychic version does D3 damage. And so just adding on that extra attack is, you know, it shouldn't be discounted. Grimoire of True Names, which is a return, that's a classic, you know, relic of the Dark Ages of the old Demon Hunters Codex moving forward to now. Inquisitor model, while an enemy unit is within 9 inches of the bearer, worsen the leadership characteristic of models in that unit by one. In addition, while an enemy demon unit is within 9 inches, each time a model in that demon unit makes an attack, subtract one from the hit roll and subtract one from the wound roll. Pretty big. That one, now it is like more flavor specific again, but that's the whole point of these things, right? This is supposed to be geared specifically toward demons.
You never know when Eldari avatars will make a comeback.
That's right. And then the final enhancement, Gift of the Prescient. Inquisitor model, once per battle, if the bearer is on the battlefield, you can use the Rapid Ingress stratagem for 0 CP. When doing so, you must target a Grey Knights Terminator squad unit from your army. When using that stratagem, that unit cannot be set up anywhere on the battlefield that's more than 3 inches away from all enemy units.
Three inch.
And it doesn't, I'm not seeing any terms about charging or anything. It's 3 inches. And that's Grey Knight Terminators. You're talking, you know, 4 attacks per model, and they're pretty hefty. I mean,
let me point out that this is a detachment enhancement. So you would have to be the Ordo Malleus Demon Hunters detachment to get that.
That's right.
Gift of Prescient. You couldn't take requisition agent or whatever and have that be in there and get this at the same time.
Yeah, you couldn't just do the assigned agents thing and then play off this. So you're not just going to have this, you know, it's not like the Sanguinor where it's just this one-off thing that you can throw in with the rest of the Blood Angels. You've got to lean into this Ordo Malleus detachment to really pull it off.
Yeah, then they also got their complement stratagems here. And there are some good ones.
But most of them just, you know, again, highlighting, it's very, and I mean, more power to them. And it makes sense because it's a detachment. There's very few of these stratagems that are just like, well, just, you know, whoever can use this. It's all very much, well, it's a Grey Knight Terminators, or it's the very specific Inquisitors or agents or what have you. And it's all largely selecting on demons. But I think this first one I think has a ton of utility and is really great to consider, especially when you're talking about how you would fill out this kind of detachment with Grey Knight Terminators on top of whatever you have in battle line. Ritual of Warding. At the start of the command phase, one Inquisitor, Inquisitorial Agents, or Ordo Malleus unit that is within range of an objective marker you control, that objective marker is said to be warded and remains under your control, even if you have no models within range of it, until your opponent controls it at the start or end of any turn. While an objective marker is warded and under your control, enemy demon units cannot be set up on the battlefield within 6 inches of it. That's huge. I mean, that's a, because when you think about it, the from the objective marker and then the 6-inch radius that goes off of that, I mean, you're creating roughly 13 inches of space, approximately.
In some maps, you've zoned out your deployment zone.
Right, exactly.
Which so zones out maybe potentially some of the easy grab secondary points.
Yeah, and so that's pretty cool, because not only are you blocking out demons in that case, but you're also... It's sticky, so you can focus on other things and just leave that objective and score off of that from there. So great utility in that one. I think that's awesome.
Another one I like to mention is the hexagramic wards. When your opponent's shooting phase or the fight phase just after an enemy unit has selected its targets, one Aura Malleus unit from your army, that's the target, that was selected as a target of one or more of the attacking unit's attacks. Until the end of the phase, all psychic weapons equipped by models in the attacking unit have the hazardous ability. Mm. That's 1 CP. Very situational, but Thousand Suns are a real thing out there right now.
That's right. And I mean, there's a couple things out there that, you know, well, all that psychic. And Thousand Suns are definitely going to, like, there's some pain that they have to take to that.
Steel Heart, also very important. This is a target Grey Knight Terminator squad until the end of the turn. Your unit is eligible to shoot and declare a charge in a turn in which it fell back.
That's huge. Tons of utility. Just to highlight on the Grey Knight Terminator squad, you know, you can take the kind of the typical weapon loadout that they would expect between Incinerator, which is like a heavy flamer, a silencer, and a psi cannon, which have different utility. But then you can also take, you can upgrade them with the banner and the Narthissium, right? And so you can run them to the extent, and the Narthissium's big. I'm trying to pull up the rule right now, but the just like having an apothecary built in, which we've seen with some of these kind of exclusive command squad kind of things. In your command phase, you can return one destroyed model to the bear's unit. I mean, there's some real value to that, bringing back a 3-wound model with 2-up save, 4-up invuln that can just sit there. And then the Ancient's Banner that you can bring. And, of course, these trade out for it says you can trade them for their Storm Bolters. But the Ancient's Banners add 1 to the objective control characteristic of models in the Bear's unit. They're already OC2, so you're now making them all OC3. That's massive. I think that there's some real utility in this. And then they all come with Hammerhand Psychic, where each time this unit makes a charge move until the end of the turn, melee weapons equipped by models in this unit have the lethal hits ability, which, again, we're just going back to this, like, okay, how do they actually wound things? Well, they do it with they have lethal hits capabilities if you can get them there in that fashion.
Digging on that. The next attachment is the Imperial Fleet.
I got to admit, this is my favorite.
Yeah, with the detachment rule at all cost, at the start of your command phase, you can select one of the following to apply: eliminate at all cost. This each time agents in the Imperium model from your army makes an attack that targets the enemy unit, add 1 to the hit roll. Acquire at all costs until the start of your next command phase. While an agent in the Imperium unit from your army is within range of that objective marker, improve the leadership and objective control characteristics of the models in that unit by 1, and models in the unit have a 5+ invulnerable save. That's a winner.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's some real, and again, as we go into some of these units for this, because you're like, you know, where is the fleet coming from? Like, who is like, suddenly we need the Imperialis fleet? And it's honestly, I love it. It's the Navy Breachers and it's the Rogue Traders coming out of the Kill Team stuff. And I think that they did a great job making these units go out. Before we jump into them, going into their enhancements, digital weapons is kind of, again, another callback to old, I mean, even Space Marines, but the Inquisitors mm-hmm. and whatnot have had these digital weapons. This is Agents of the Imperium model each time. And so, like, Agents of the Imperium model, like, that's a pretty broad selection. That's not just, you know, we've opened up the aperture here. We're not just talking about, you know, Grey Knights or what have you. It's a very broad selection. Each time the bearer is directed to fight, roll 3d6. For each 4+, one enemy unit within engagement range of the bearer suffers 1 mortal wound. Mortal wounds inflicted by this enhancement are allocated as if they had the precision ability. So that's pretty awesome to just kind of, I mean, you just show up and just start spraying mortal wounds to a certain extent. So nice little thing there. Clandestine operation is the next enhancement. Again, agent of the Imperium model. At the start of the declare battle formation step, you can select up to 3 agents of the Imperium infantry units for your army, excluding Grey Knight Terminator squads. Go figure. Those units gain the infiltrator's ability. And again, like we go back to the balancing. Right. Well, like you go back to the balancing aspect. Okay. So the Grey Knight Terminators, the one that you would love to be able to do this, are not going to be doing that. But you still have the utility of suddenly creating 3 infiltrators. I think that's a great enhancement. Next one's Fleet Master. We start getting a little more specific here. Voidfarer's model only. That's the there's a Navigator, there's a Rogue Trader retinue, which is 4 models. There's the Voidfarers, which are typically the 5 to 6 models that then get attached to the Rogue Trader. In a lot of cases, that's what the kill team is made out of. And then there's the Navy Breachers, which is, I can explain in further detail in a minute why those are going to be probably one of my favorite units. But this Fleet Master is once per battle round, you can target the Bears unit with the Violent Acquisition, Masters of the Void, or Close Quarters Barrage Stratagems, which we'll cover here for a second. But that allows you to do it once per battle round. Use that for 0 CP, which is pretty awesome little stack.
Zero's good.
Yep, zero's always good. And the way that that plays out with how utility some of these other stratagems are, and trying to like get the most bang for your buck out of these units, you're going to want to have these different stratagems in play. Combat Landers is the last enhancement. Again, I really like this. Voidfarer's model only. At the start of the declare battle formation step, you can select up to 3 Voidfarer's units from your army. Those units gain the deep strike ability. So you've got clandestine operation with infiltrators, and then you've also got deep strikers that you can just add in, which I just love it. I think that they've done a great job with this. It's good, right? You can see all this different utility aspect to it. I'm not saying it's going to win a game, but you could definitely play around.
It's playable though, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned those stratagems that are 0 points if you have that enhancement.
So the first one is Violent Acquisition, and it's 2 CP. So to be able to make it 0 CP definitely has some benefit. You choose 1 agents of the Imperium unit from your army. That again, we go back to this. That's a wide aperture across this entire codex. It's not just the naval units. Until the end of the phase, each time a model in your unit makes an attack that targets an enemy unit within range of an objective marker, the attack has the sustained hits 1, lance, and ignores cover abilities. I mean, that's healthy. That is a healthy stratagem right there.
That sounds like a lot.
It is.
Yeah, Masters of the Void is the next one, and that is until the you one Void Farer's character from unit or unit from your army. You do it in the movement phase until the end of the phase. Each agent of the Imperium unit from your army that is arriving from strategic reserves this turn can be set up within your opponent's deployment zone. All other restrictions still apply. So coming in, I guess, out of nowhere.
I mean, can be set up within your opponent's deployment zone. All the other restrictions. So
9
you're
inches.
Assume 9, right? Yeah. But it's just the ability to, in your movement phase, the Voidfarer's character unit from your army. So that's, you know, you're going to talk about the Rogue Trader retinue, or you're talking about the Navigator. And so as you apply these into a squad like Breachers, I mean, I think that's great. I think that you can really put something down by doing so. So there's some utility to this. Again,
Close Quarters Barrage Stratagem is the last one there in that suite. That's a 1 CP. You do it in your shooting phase. Until the end of your phase, each time a model and unit makes a ranged attack that targets a unit within 12 inches, improve the strength and armor penetration characteristics of that attack by 1.
A lot of the strength, if you look at it in the data sheet, just the base strength values, you're looking at 4. And so a lot of the stuff you'd be making on 4s, but then you put the strength up by 1, now you're doing it by 3s. And then, of course, increasing armor penetration, always great. And then if you've got one of these other things that's out there that might have the ability to ignore cover or whatever, you're suddenly doing a lot more, right? So I think we just covered those 3 stratagems that you can possibly make to 0. They're all circumstantial, which is fine. The whole army in its own way is circumstance, but this one definitely has some broader applications more useful in a broader scenario. They go to Emperor's Will for 1 CP, 1 Agents of the Imperium unit from your army. Until the end of the phase, your unit is eligible to shoot in a turn in which it advanced or fell back. That's great. Displacer Field, I really like this one. 1 Agents of the Imperium unit from your army, excluding Assassins, that was selected as the target of one or more of the attacking unit's attacks. Until the end of the phase, models in your unit have a 4-up invuln save, and after the attacking unit has resolved its attacks, unless your unit is within engagement range of one or more enemy units, it can make a normal move up to 6 inches. But when doing so, models in this unit move as if they have the fly keyword.
That is a complete throwback to used to, if you made your invulnerable save back in second, I guess it might have been first and second edition, you bounced.
Which, I mean, it makes sense because you displace, right? You just took a bunch of fire and you move off. And I think this is great. I think that that's an awesome one for 1 CP to just kind of make
the extra movement for 1 CP. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think it just helps complicate the battlefield for your opponent and give yourself more options.
That is the rundown of the detachments. I think we should talk more about the units and everything next week.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds great. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about like our time at Gen Con and some other stuff. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff happening in Warhammer right now.
Yep.
Always is. Anyway, we'll be back in just a second, everybody.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everybody. Thanks for checking out our sponsor. And also check out the affiliate link that is in the show notes. That takes you to the Warhammer merch store, like official Warhammer merch store, where you can purchase all kind of Warhammer stuff. I have some of the t-shirts. I've gotten some of the other things there that you can only get there. And they started putting the Joy Toy figures up there. And you can pre-order all that stuff. And if you're going to get it anyway, then check out our affiliate link because it doesn't cost anything extra, but it does help the show. So maybe consider doing that if you were going to get that kind of stuff from there, you know, outside of knowing that this affiliate link existed. Red, we were just at Gen Con.
Yup, man, what a good time.
Yeah, is it your first time going to Gen Con?
Not my first, no. It's, I want to say that was my fourth time being. My first time was back in 2018.
It's pretty spectacular as far as like the sheer volume of people there, all coming for a shared experience around games specifically.
Yeah.
Not just Warhammer, games.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, it is the biggest board game convention, like of, you know, people, not necessarily vendors necessarily, but like just 70,000 plus people in Indiana that across from all over, but coming to Indianapolis for that convention. And it is amazing, the stuff you see there. Amazing stuff that people bring together. Amazing community. Just wanting to play board games and see all the board games that are out there.
I was doing Spearhead demos for Age of Sigmar most of the weekend.
And yeah, it's a shame we don't have Tanya to talk it, but I've been watching Spearhead just blow up.
It really
just
has.
Run away with it.
So yeah. It really is its own game. Like it uses, and so when I was doing the demo, and you know, I did make a couple of like slight adjustments just for the demo. Like we didn't talk about commands, and we just kind of did basic scoring. If you're on the objectives, you're scoring points, kind of thing, just to kind of get the mechanics of for people and talk about, you know, how the hobby works and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what struck me playing in the course of these demos is it's not just a feeder game. It is not just, you know, maybe like how maybe one feels about Combat Patrol. Spearhead can be played almost like its own scene that just happens to use the Age of Sigmar rules.
Right. It's also got like a card mechanic and a couple other things to it that it really is its own thing. And I think it's really cool the amount of attention it's getting in the way that it really is just buy this box, play that box, you know, assemble, paint, play, not necessarily always in that order.
Absolutely. And when I had played Spearhead before, it might have been just the forces that I was playing with, but it felt like, and this was the first time, this is the first time I played Spearhead. It felt like it was just going to be a scrum, you know, but like some people consider Age of Sigmar in the past. It's not that way anymore, but it's just going to, you run to the middle and you fight. And when you look at all the various Spearhead boxes, they all have some special things. And then, of course, you're playing the objectives. So if you want to win the game, you have to figure out a way to play the objectives. And each of the armies play in a way that you would suspect they would, but sometimes they've had their stats slightly modified from Big Age of Sigmar, Big O, I don't really know how I'm supposed to refer to it as Big O AOS, to have them be balanced against the other Spearhead forces. And what you're talking about with the cards is there are battle tactics that you draw up to three each turn that incentivize you for doing certain things on the tabletop, being certain places on the tabletop. And you're playing on a preset map that has objectives printed on it. And it's a double-sided map. On one side, you've got the objectives in a certain configuration, on the other side, another. But they have two bespoke decks that you play with that are based on whatever board side you're playing on. And then you have one extra thing with it called the twist deck. And you flip over a new twist at the start of every round. And there's an underdog, a catch-up mechanic that... Even if you are behind in points, if you've got some savvy generalship that you can whip out, or maybe just enough units, then there may be a way for you to climb back into the game, or at least keep it tight. And people had a blast. I can tell people had an absolute blast. Some folks had never played Warhammer before. Most of them had never played Warhammer before, but had a genuine interest in this type of hobby and really enjoyed like the sword and sorcery side of it more than maybe the sci-fi side of it.
Well, and, I think that's something too. I think with the crowd that's there, and I can appreciate that when you're like getting into it, and you know, some people are not, like you said, some people are not sci-fi, some people are not fantasy one way or the other, and they just they like what they like, and I think that's the awesome part about between 40K and Age of Sigmar is that both are kind of covered in their respective realms.
The game itself kind of is engaging, and just I can't impress this enough, is that it's not just a get you by game to play. You can play, you can be a Spearhead player, and I think you're going to get a very, very satisfying experience.
Yeah, I can see that.
And had a lot of questions around, you know, like, well, what if we choose to play, you know, Big AOS? And well, I very plainly explained that you then get a lot of modularization, you know, with your army, and you may find that you want a different efficiency, and you may have to, maybe you don't play with all these units, but you could play with all these units. And some of the Spearhead boxes, I think, are actually have a collection of forces in them that you will almost like ought to include, even if you expanded beyond it. But at the same time, that's the kind of stuff that changes. And that's where, you know, that's how you would kind of make your mind work if you wanted to expand past the Spearhead box. But you could still get almost like that war game, board game experience, you know, that you if you just had the Spearhead and be a Spearhead player.
Right.
There's a scene developing around Spearhead.
I believe it. Again, it's you can tell there's some deliberation to it, that just like we were talking to Tanya a few weeks ago, this new edition of Age of Sigmar is definitely going in what I think is the right direction. I think that it's there's some maturity to it in other ways, but this the setup and how Spearhead is, and how the new edition of Age Sigmar is going, I think that there's some really greatness to how they built that out and how it's holding up right now.
Some cool highlights from the weekend at the demo side of things. I got to demo the game for Becca Scott, who is a, you know, incredibly well-known like game enthusiast on YouTube. So that was very fun. And I got to meet Matthew Lillard, who came by the Warhammer booth.
Nice.
He's doing some other game stuff, like role play type stuff there, and even has a whiskey brand that is themed around character classes from like D&D and stuff, which was cool. I really only spent a couple of moments with him, just said hello and what's up, and I was a fan because I am a fan.
Sure. No, it still sounds good.
Let him get on about his day. Had some players, of course, that it came up for the demo that either just had the game or wanted to get reinforcements of the rules, and that was always cool. Although I did tell them, like, you know, this is Spearhead and the rules are slightly different. I mean, marginally, like how you interact on the board is the exact same, but there are just some different stats and stuff for the characters and for the models and units themselves. But basically how you interact on the board is the exact same. So let them know there's little differences there. Of course, had some people that want to know differences between Warhammer 40K and Age of Sigmar, which, you know, happy to explain and talk about that. And had one gentleman who wanted to express his displeasure about how a rule, one of the abilities on one of the War Scrolls was worded. I let him know that I could not solve that. But I also let him know that it's, you know, all the abilities are color coded. So if you have his question was around like when you're supposed to do something. Well, it's coded to be at the end of the turn and color coded as such. And so I let him know, like, well, that's, you know, my interpretation is that you have to do it there, but I don't really have to interpret much. And I said this, because I think it's kind of color coded in a way that lets us assume, even if we don't think it's incredibly clear, which I did think it was okay, that this is when you're supposed to do it. So I like how the game has those types of like guardrails.
Sure.
He was pretty insistent upon how it needed to be changed. And I said I would pass along his feedback.
Feedback is a gift.
And he's like, I know you won't. That's what he told me. I was like, we'll definitely pass along this kind of stuff. This is the kind of thing, like, this is a very, very tight rule set.
Sure.
And the idea is to make it as tight as possible while still also being as fun and impersonal as the players of the game want it to be.
Sure.
And if there is any ambiguousness in something, then I'm sure they would like to resolve that if they see it that way. So
yeah,
that's what I point along. But, you know, happy to pass this along, but also happy to talk about Warhammer and, like, if you want to know any more about the game. But I just thought that was funny. That is sometimes how, you know, we interact with each other in the gamer space.
yeah. Well, and that's – so I was – you know, a little over. I know you were in the exhibition area, right?
Yes.
And then I was over in the gaming area where I was running a dungeon crawl using Kill Team rules, which was awesome because it was based off of the core of the models that we used came out of the Dark Tide miniatures box, which is a kind of standalone box game that it has characters. It's the four characters from the Dark Tide game that have miniatures in this, using a Kazarkin veteran, an Ogryn, a Psyker, and a Zealot. And it was very fun because it used the Kill Team rule set was largely in play, kind of like what you did. There were a few adjustments I had rules wise. One, you know, to make it more of this dungeon crawl deal. And then two, just when you have, I mean, we were fortunate enough sometimes at the tables, we would have 12 people, whether it was me by myself in the earlier days or you know, Chris showed up and we had two dungeon masters effectively running a team on either end of this dungeon. And we were using the boarding dark, you know, into the dark or the boarding
actions,
right? Boarding actions terrain. And so we were using that terrain, which made for this awesome looking sci-fi dungeon. And then we had multiples of the characters. We had up to 12 of the characters. And so, you know, at one point we had all 12 people playing through one run. Another point I had six and he was running with six. And so really awesome, really fun. And then of course to have all of a way to use your 40K miniatures to build this, this other model, a way to play that many people are familiar with other games, but to be able to use the Kill Team rules, and then to go from that. And then there were Kill Team demos going on. There were Kill Team, a sealed team event where they were essentially a black, you know, black boxes with random assortments of Kill Teams throughout all of them.
That had been built and primed already. So
that's right.
Like the players just opened them up and played and got to take them home.
That's right. And it looked awesome for that. But it was also a good transition going from my game where you kind of pick up the basics of it and then be able to then go step into the sealed team event where you could continue to learn how to play, or, you know, you could have gone to the demo for it or whatever. I just think I'd like to think that we delivered a great gaming experience. I had an awesome time. I had repeat people, because that was the other thing with this dungeon crawl, is that you could, as you played through, you picked up gear, and then there were also ways to level up effectively.
It's a unique game experience there at Gen Con.
That's right.
In the Warhammer 40,000 universe, and it is pretty spectacular. And I know when I walked by the tables you were running, everyone was having a blast.
I'd like to think so. It was so much fun in the case of, I mean, and you know, there are RPG or narrative elements to it. So, you know, after you just cleared a room between the four of you of 20 something poxwalkers, you then got to search through remains. And I had it where the psychers could do a psychic test to search better than everyone else could. But if they rolled a one on a D6, it summoned demons, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. And so like it was, I'd like to think that they had a really great time, and we had some awesome repeat players come back, even people from last year, and they brought gear and stuff like that from last year. We had a guy show up. It was awesome. He showed up. He had a Wraith cannon from last year.
That's so cool.
He applied. It was really awesome to see a lot of the stuff come back into play. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing what's in store for us next year or later down the road for this, because it was a ton of fun. It very much was a Gen Con experience for sure.
Love it. Well, that's our show this week. Red, it was a pleasure talking, going through the Imperial Agents book with you. Next week, we hope everyone is back. If we can, schedules aligning. I may also have a special guest come on and do a segment about the new Warcry box that's coming out. Champion of the Warcry hobby, like Warcry enthusiast. And so would like to get them on. Hopefully awesome. We are able to do that. Hold tight with us. It's been a pleasure. Please check out the sponsors. Check out the Patreon if that is so something you are inclined to do. Red, I'll see you next week.
All right. See ya.
Good night, everybody.
They said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.